The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. They say it's a thin line between love and hate, but we're working every day to thicken that line, or at least make it a double or triple line. Now, here's your line-jumping host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to Hour 2. Let me remind you, in a few minutes, we're talking to Joel Gilbert about Michelle Obama's, it seems, desire to be president of the United States to run in 2024. Wait till you hear about it. We continue our conversation with John Zmierich. Let me also remind you, tonight we premiere another Socrates in the City video. That's tonight, Tuesday, January 17th. You have to sign up at SocratesInTheCity.com for the newsletter. You don't want to miss it. It's James Tour. Trust me. John Zmierich, what's happening?
James Tour is scary smart. I don't say that often that when I talk to a person, oh my God, this person is so much smarter than me. I hope I don't embarrass myself.
Well, that's what's so, I find people like that, to some extent, you fall into that category for me. To me, there's humor involved. Like, it's so funny to me when I'm talking. I mean, when people watch my conversation tonight with James, like, there's something inherently comic about this gift of super genius that he has. It's just hilarious. But anyway, we'll leave it at that.
All right. So we were talking about freedom, bin Laden, the vaccines, the fear of death governing us and making us all contemptible cowards. I was blessed in that it turned out the vaccine was more dangerous than COVID. I got COVID. I followed the Dr. Peter McCullough's protocols, and I was bedridden for 10 days, cuddled with my dogs, and got better. And now I have natural immunity. I just got COVID again, and it wasn't nearly as bad. And I think next time it won't even be, it'll be not, you know, less bad. And I have a clean conscience, and I don't have weird medical innovations floating around in my body doing God knows what to me. That is an example of God rewarding courage. I'm not a super courageous guy, but in this one time I was courageous, and I said, yeah, I'm not gonna live that way. Screw you people. I'm gonna go out like Scarface, but I'm not going to run over the cliff like with the rest of the Gadarene swine. You know who else was like that? The people on January 6th, the courageous protesters who were nonviolent, who didn't even know they were breaking the law in many cases, who are now being treated worse than the terrorists and rapists from ISIS at Guantanamo Bay. What we need to do is to make our litmus test for a politician going forward. It should not be even pro-life, it should not even be gun rights. Those things should be taken for granted at this point. The litmus test should be, what do you say about January 6th? Do you think it's okay that the George Floyd rioters walked free and the January 6th protesters are being treated worse than terrorists? If you think that, You're not an American. You're maybe a Latin American. You're maybe a Honduran dictator or a Guatemalan strongman, but you're not an American, and you don't qualify to run for president. I don't recognize you as a fellow American. So any politician, be it Pompeo or Pence, who still condemns the January 6th protesters and doesn't complain about the George Floyd rioters walking free, that is not a person who belongs in politics, and you should regard them as dangerous. You should regard them as an infiltrator, as a wolf in sheep's clothing. What we need from a president going forward, we need a president who will pardon all the January 6th protesters and then endorse them for Congress. We need those people in Congress because those are the people who understand the real America. The real America is the FBI surveilling your phone, the FBI questioning your friends, the FBI arresting you for protesting outside an abortion clinic, the Department of Justice infiltrating school board meetings to report on concerned anti-communist parents as domestic terrorists. That is the real America. And so we need a president who will run the real America and fix it, not pretend that it's still 1992, but actually fix things. And to do that, he must fix the double standard, the anarcho-tyranny that is being imposed on it. That's anarchy for me, our rioters, Antifa, we can tear up cities. Tyranny for thee. If you take a selfie in the Capitol, you're going to be in solitary confinement for a year awaiting charges. That is not America.
Well, the sense of outrage that one ought to have is tremendous. And yet there are many in the political class who they've bought enough of this lie of a narrative that, well, January 6th was bad. I not only fail to see that it was bad in the way they're saying, but it seems increasingly clear to me that it was a setup, that the deep state engineered this. Listen, folks, it's hard for us to believe that people in our government would be this wicked. We read about these things in history, but it's very tough for us to get our heads around the fact that Nancy Pelosi and others would be this wicked, that they would want to demonize that part of the country that dared to vote for Donald Trump and to forever expunge those views. It's hard for us to get our heads around, but it's our
how about people
to get our heads around.
How about people like William Barr colluding?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about the Democrats. It's even harder for us to wrap our heads around the fact that all these nice people who were in the Bush administration are on the side of the enemy. They are on the side of the deep state, and they don't care about our freedom. They just care about the links at their country club.
Well, or they're simply willing, and again, this is pure complicity, but they're willing to look the other way. They're willing to say, okay, maybe I wouldn't agree with Nancy Pelosi on this or this or this, but neither am I willing to fight her. Neither am I willing to deal with this. I would rather play patty cake with the devil and continue to have the life that I have. It's not worth it. I will lose respectability. This is a big question for many people and many Christians. You know, is it respectable? That's not the question God asks us. He asks us not to be cowards. And sometimes you look like a wild man if you refuse to be cowardly and to go along with the herd.
Yeah. Are you with John the Baptist or are you with Salome? Okay.
I mean,
John the Baptist was a weirdo. He ate locusts. He wore goat skin. He called out the ruler when the ruler was corrupt. What we have among so many Republicans is they want to be Herod's advisors, or they want to be Herod's loyal opposition. They want to work with Caesar the way the Sadducees and the high priests worked with Caesar. They want to be friends with Pontius Pilate. We have no king but Caesar. That is the slogan of the Never Trump Republicans. I don't know what you want to call them at this point, but the regime Republicans, the managed opposition, they are the Washington generals. It's their job to go out and lose against the Harlem Globetrotters every night. And if some player tries to win, they're gonna try to beat that player up because he's messing up their little deal.
Clear. These are not the people that made this country. It's not the pioneer stock. It's not the Revolutionary Era Black Robe Regiment heroes. We are talking about people that run from that. And we have drifted so far from that. We need to recover that idea of what it is to be courageous, what it is to be an American patriot, what it is to be willing to die for liberty and to see as heroes those who say, give me liberty or give me death. We need to bring that back into our schools. We need to pull our children out of schools that are not teaching that. So we have a lot of work to do. But, you know, John, I remain hopeful. And as I say in Letter to the American Church, I actually believe it is the role of the church. Those who dare to claim they believe in the God of the Bible, God is looking to those people first and foremost to stand up and to be heroes. I'm sorry, we're out of time. I want to recommend folks that you go to stream.org and read John's articles and follow him. John, can't wait till your book comes out. I want to talk to you about that a lot. Very excited that that is happening. And folks, please support our sponsors at mypillow.com, mystore.com. Use the code Eric and Nutramedics.com. John, thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call them at 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT.
Make like a Mr. Milktoast.
Humana. Is this live? Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have a lot of different kinds of guests talking about a lot of different things. And I always say to the guest, if they're not in New York City at the time, if you get to New York City, we might continue the conversation. And guess what? That's what's happening right now. I'm sitting here with Joel Gilbert, who is a filmmaker. The new film is Michelle Obama 2024. It is out on DVD. First of all, Joel Gilbert, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
Welcome to the studio.
Great to be
Welcome to New York City. Welcome to the United States of America. No, you live here in the United States of America, but you live on the other coast.
Correct. I'm in Los Angeles most of the time, and happy to be able to come and talk to you today.
Well, we talked about this film, but I assume most people listening, you know, missed it or they don't listen to every program. So reprise, if you would, the guts of this this film, Michelle Obama 2024.
Well, as you also have the book version is out as well.
Right.
That's on Amazon. So I just did a deep dive into Michelle Obama's life story and history. And the reason I did that is because I noticed a couple years ago that Michelle Obama was following the exact same formula as her husband Barack did to become president. Barack had a voter registration organization called Project Vote in Chicago. And Michelle founded something called When We All Vote. And she's been running around the country giving these political stump speeches for Democrats for a couple years. Barack was also the keynote speaker for John Kerry in 2004. The keynote speaker at the Democrat convention is kind of the position they give to the person that they think will be the nominee
right.
the next convention. Sure enough, Michelle showed up as Joe Biden's keynote speaker and introduced him at the Democrat virtual convention in 2020. And then, of course, Barack kind of based his candidacy on his personal story. He wrote that book called Dreams from My Father,
right.
big bestseller. Sure enough, Michelle wrote an autobiography called Becoming in 2018, and she did a world book tour on it, just telling her life story and life history. She even followed it up just about 4 or 5 weeks ago after the midterm. She came out with The Light We Carry, which pretends to be a self-help book, but it's really a continued autobiography of Michelle Obama, and she went on another book tour, which I actually attended in L.A., and it was like a campaign event, just people screaming and disco music, and Oprah came out. And
Oprah came out? The actual Oprah?
Yeah, she was the celebrity hostess, asked Michelle questions that are all political. So just watching her following Barack Obama's formula, I did a deep dive into Michelle's background story. I went to Chicago. I talked to her teachers, her principal, 4 boyfriends, college thesis advisor, you name it. And I came up with a story that shows that Michelle's life history that she bases on gender and race is total nonsense, that she has a completely different political life story. Her father was a politician, was a Democrat Party precinct captain. She was into politics growing up. She married a politician, and she was very, very political her whole life until, you might remember, in 2008, during the campaign, she was giving these fiery political speeches for Barack, and she went over the top and said, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country. And there was so much negative backlash, they told her, look, you're going to be like Hillary Clinton. Everyone's going to hate you. And she realized, well, let me take a step back. So they came up with this laughable excuse that Michelle hates politics. And she said, oh, I just want to be the mom in chief. So that was the cover story for a highly political person. So I'm convinced she's right now running for president on the down low. And that's
right.
why I put out this book and film to tell her
right.
whole life story.
Okay. So a few things, folks. If you want to see the film, you can go to salemnow.com. I think you know how to spell that, salemnow.com. And the film is Michelle Obama 2024. And this idea that I have heard over and over and over, these are the talking points, that she hates politics, that is what is called in show business, that's called a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie. And you, Joel Gilbert, have done tremendous research. This is called journalism. And you... you've uncovered the reality, and the reality is absolutely overwhelming.
Correct.
And that she's positioned to run for president in 2024, and people say, well, what about Joe Biden? Well, can I fill that in for you, ladies and gentlemen? You want to know what's going to happen? Joe Biden is going to leave office before the end of his term. I think the revelations from the Hunter Biden laptop, it's going to show the corruption, and he's going to be driven, hounded from office by his own party. That's my theory. Or his health will knock him out. I don't think anybody on planet Earth thinks Kamala Harris could conceivably be the top of the ticket for more than 10 minutes. At least that's my take on it. What is your take?
Yeah, it's clear that the Democrats have been talking since last summer. Every Democrat in public says they don't want Joe to run for president again. They even asked Michelle Obama on her book tour, and she did about a 10-second pause, and she said, I guess that'll be up to him. So the Democrats clearly don't want him. He was kind of a bridge candidate, a guy that they could put in his basement and get 81 million votes somehow, and that they could.
We're not saying they cheated. We're declaring that they cheated. There's a difference.
Okay.
Look, it's so preposterous. Most people know that where there's smoke, there's fire. The whole thing looks fishy and weird, and he is clearly a train wreck, a moving train wreck. And so it's not at all crazy to say that they're going to have to find somebody else in 2024. Now, my question would be, why wouldn't it be Hillary? Is there still a war and enmity between the Obamas and the Clintons?
Yeah, the Obamas and Clintons aren't really fans of each other, but they do work together. Now, Hillary's over her mid-70s now, and she's clearly not running again. She's been the nominee.
Now, I'm a little surprised to hear that. Okay.
Yeah. Hillary is we got to put it out there that the Democrat Party is leaning toward candidates who are non-white, They like candidates who are ethnic candidates, candidates of color. They're going in that direction everywhere they can. That's kind of the keeping the minority vote, which is a huge, important Democrat voting bloc. And they're pushing candidates who are non-white. So Michelle Obama just checks all the boxes. She's brings back that nostalgia. She can say, remember how much you love the Obama years. But she won't own the results of the Biden years because she can, you know, be above it all and claim, I'm just going to bring us all back together. So, you know, Biden is going to probably fool around for a few months and say, well, I might run, I might not. He might even say he is running, but the purpose will be to freeze out the situation so that Michelle can appear in the fall sometime. And just like Biden said he would never run for president, and only when he said, well, Trump said very fine people, so I had to run to save the country. So there's a million excuses that the Democrat Party will turn to Michelle, and she'll say, everyone kept asking me, so I'm going to form a committee.
Right.
She wants to play that reluctant role where I'm kind of doing y'all a favor, almost what Donald Trump did. He said, I had a nice life. I didn't need this. So Michelle is taking that same pose because she wants to hide her very, very political background.
Well, you reveal this in the documentary. And again, folks, it's Michelle Obama 2024. You can see it at salemnow.com. And there's a website, MichelleObama24.com, not 2024, MichelleObama24.com. But you really, Joel, are convinced that she is running for president in 2024. And it seems to me that you're nearly as horrified by the prospect of another Obama presidency as most Americans are. And so you want to show that she's really been putting forward a lie, that she's been pretending to have this story, which when you look into it is not only not true, it's the opposite of the truth.
Correct. Michelle spent her life actually running away from the black community for education. Every time she had a chance to study with other blacks, she went to a school with all whites. Then she spent her professional career exploiting the black community. She worked for the mayor of Chicago under Valerie Jarrett at the planning department, and her job was to knock down the projects. She made 20,000 black people homeless when she knocked down Cabrini Green and other projects in Chicago, and it was up to Michelle to tell the black people, this is better for you. You'll be better off if we take your homes away. Then, having proven her callousness, she again worked for white Democrat elites at the University of Chicago, where her job was to take health care away from the Southside black community. She ran something called the Southside Health Collaborative, where what was happening was black people from the Southside were showing up at the emergency room at the University of Chicago because it was right next door. And Michelle made a program where she put them in these vans and dumped them at these crappy neighborhood clinics because they didn't have proper insurance and they couldn't afford their health care. And again, Michelle told the black community the same thing. You'll be better off without this health care at the University of Chicago. So she always had jobs where she exploited the black community and took their homes away and took their health care away. But she never talks about that. She always was that, you know, the person of color working for the white elites because they couldn't have a white person take health care away from black people and tell them it's good for them or knock down their homes. So that was the role Michelle always took. I also found out one of her best friends from the time she was at Sidley and Austin Law Firm was none other than Bernadine Dorn.
Uh-oh.
That's right.
Hold on a second, folks. When we come back, in case you don't know who that is, yeah, you'll find out. You go to salemnow.com, Michelle Obama 2024. Unfortunately, this is very important. We'll be right back. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal. And I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients. Yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. And each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com. Folks, I'm talking to Joel Gilbert. He's been on the program before talking about the same thing we're talking about now, except now you're in the studio here with us in New York. You are an L.A.-based filmmaker, president of Highway 61 Entertainment. You've made a ton of films. You've made some mockumentaries, which I'd love to talk to you about another time. But the film we're talking about now is called Michelle Obama 2024, Her Real Life Story and Plan for Power. And you were just touching on something that I remember the only person talking about this back in 2008 was Sean Hannity. He did some research into the Obamas, and he uncovers this stuff, and you think, there's no way they're this radical. This is actually really scary. The news, they refused to cover the fact that the Obamas are very close with people who are domestic terrorists. I mean, we're not making the term up. This is scary stuff. So talk about Bernadine Dorn.
Yeah, what's pretty well known by now is that Obama was very close to Bill Ayers, who was one of the heads of the Weather Underground, the SDS in the 60s, the terrorist emeritus. But what's not known is that Michelle Obama was very close to Bernadine Dorn. Bernadine Dorn really was the head of the Weather Underground terror group. She was accused by Larry Grathwall of actually planting a bomb that killed a police officer in San Francisco, and she was waging a war against police. Now, Michelle befriends her at the Sidley Austin law firm when she gets a job there after Harvard, and it's Bernadine Dorn that taught Michelle something called the politics of fear. And this is the theory that we're all afraid of each other. All Americans are afraid of each other, and we have to get past that fear to heal ourselves. And you heard Michelle word for word repeat Bernadine Dorn's politics of fear on the 2008 campaign trail. Even in her books today, she talks about fear and getting over fear. The Obamas would have dinner with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn for years at their house and were just heavily influenced by these 1960s radicals. And you see it in Michelle Obama's politics. It's far-left radical politics that preaches against America.
Yeah, we have to be clear that these are unrepentantly anti-American, you know, Marxist radicals. These are not people that have softened over the years. They've just changed. They're not doing literal bombings because you might get arrested for that. But they have spent decades working against the founders' vision. And the idea that the Obamas would not just be, oh, no, these are Democrats. No, these are very radical leftists.
Right. Well, the lesson that Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers learned was you can't overthrow the government from the outside. In the 60s, early 70s, they thought by bombing police stations and the Capitol that you could overthrow the government. And a lot of their comrades went to jail. They went to the underground. They came out of the underground and taught their disciples, like the Obamas, that you can't overthrow from the outside, but you can do it from within. So don't talk about your Marxism and your radicalism. Just say you want to help people. You want to cure racism. You want to, you know, save the planet. And then that's what Barack Obama did. Once he got into office, he threw the voters under the bus and pursued a radical agenda that nobody voted for.
It's interesting because Dinesh D'Souza wrote a book about and made a film about Barack Obama. And when you really understand how radical and anti-American the vision is that they had, that's where the left is in America today. And this is what I'm often talking about, is that we're not dealing with Tip O'Neill, ladies and gentlemen. We're not dealing with Sam Nunn. We're not dealing with whoever you think was the Democratic Party once upon a time. We are dealing with people now that have tacked so hard left that if you have anything close to the politics of John F. Kennedy, you have to understand these people are against you. I was just reading a book by Michael Medved where he talks about in the 40s, the man who was FDR's last vice president before Truman, but how profoundly communist he was. His name's escaping me now, but that this is a strain that kind of goes through the decades.
Right.
And it wasn't until the 60s that it comes out full blown. But then, as you say, it goes underground again. It's the long march through the institutions. How do we take over from the inside? And of course, Barack Obama becoming president was, they thought, this is it. We're going to do it now.
Well, you know, it might have been it. I mean, once Obama got in with Eric Holder, he brought in all these leftists. They took over the intelligence agencies. They built a system in the Justice Department that could withstand if they lost the presidency. And once Donald Trump won, they waged war against him from the inside and simply brushed him aside and put in Biden. I'm pretty well known for my 2012 film called Dreams from My Real Father, where I make the case that the man who raised Barack Obama and radicalized him in Hawaii, named Frank Marshall Davis, was likely his biological father.
Right.
He looks just like him.
Right.
But even that aside, Frank Marshall Davis was a Soviet agent in the Cold War. He was
A Soviet agent in the Cold War. So the man to whom Barack Obama was extremely close and whose actual son he may be was a Soviet agent during the Cold War. You're not speaking hyperbolically.
No, Frank Marshall Davis was a hardcore Chicago communist for years. He moved to Hawaii on orders of the Comintern, the Communist International, with orders to start a strike in Hawaii, this is before statehood, so they could take over the Hawaiian government and expel U.S. naval forces from Hawaii, which they wanted to assist Soviet expansion in Southeast Asia. Frank Marshall Davis moved to Hawaii. He started a dock worker strike that eventually failed, and he stayed in Hawaii and wrote for the communist newspaper, the Honolulu Record. He was hauled before the House Un-American Activities Committee and pled the fifth. He also was found with photos that he took of beaches that he sent to the Russians.
Okay,
so,
folks, yeah. I'm sorry to say that this is all true. We'll be right back.
Once there was a way.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there, but did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to inspireadvisors.com/Eric. That's inspireadvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Joel Gilbert, who has done a lot of important work in film. And the new one is Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story and plan for power. Look, you give us the details. So this is not just some I don't like the Obamas. You get into absolutely incontrovertible facts. You've done actual journalism and research. And when you talk about Frank Marshall Davis, I remember the last time you were on this program, this is astonishing stuff. I mean, this is hardcore anti-American, pro-Soviet communist. It's really dark. This is not, you know, well, we have differences of opinion. These are people who have been the enemies of we the people for many, many decades, going back, you know, whatever, into the 20s and the 30s. They've always been there, but they have not had the ability to take power until recently.
Well, as I said earlier, it was the experience of trying to overthrow the government from the outside by the Weather Underground, Ayers and Dorn, the buddies of the Obamas, that they taught them a lesson that said you're going to have to overcome it from the inside. Even Hillary Clinton, you remember, she wrote to Saul Alinsky, who offered her a job, and said, she said, no, I want to try to affect change from the inside. So that's been their the way they've done business. Now, Michelle, people don't also know that she was actually a community organizer, just like Barack Obama was for 3 years in Chicago. She ran a radical leftist group called Public Allies. And what that organization did is they would get people who were coming out of prison or unemployed people out of high school, and they would give them jobs in the bureaucracy in Chicago, in the government. That was 4 days a week. One day a week, they would come in for socialist, radical leftist indoctrination. And the idea was that these people with these internships would then get a job in the bureaucracy and over the years work their way up and be part of the system with these radical leftist views. So Michelle ran that organization for 3 years, and no one really knows her history as a Chicago radical.
And again, it's not that there's anything objectively wrong with that. If somebody wants to be a Chicago radical, they can be a Chicago radical. But what I find really interesting is that she has lied about it consistently, obsessively, has tried to hide this aspect of her life. She's just being a mom, which is complete baloney. But the media has gone along with this. They're unwilling to look into it. And you have, you know, more than the facts to prove it.
Right. Look, Barack Obama ran as a traditional candidate in 2008. He said, you know, I want to bring us all together because my father's from Africa, my mother's from Kansas, marriage is between a man and a woman and God, I support Israel, all these things. And the media just kind of bought that story. If he had said, I basically oppose this American system, my father was a Soviet agent who raised me in Hawaii, he would be unelectable. So too, Michelle Obama has to make a life history that has to do with gender and race, claiming all these fake racial slights. One thing I discovered also in Chicago, Michelle's been telling a story for 15 years about her high school counselor racially profiling her regarding her Princeton application. She told her, oh, you're black, maybe you're stretching too high wanting to go to Princeton. Well, I found out her high school counselor was a church-going black woman. So there's no way she racially profiled her. So these are the stories Michelle tells. I'm a victim of racism and gender, so vote for me. And if she gets elected, you'll find out her real strategy.
And obviously everybody knows in the 70s it was way easier to get into some of these elite institutions because of whether you want to call it affirmative action or whatever it was. It was the set policy that if you were like, you know, a white guy from, you know, whatever, the odds were lower. Like that, everybody already knows that. So the idea that she would say the opposite is completely preposterous. We're not talking about the 1950s or even the 60s. This is like well into the point where these administrations at these schools, admissions rather, had made it a policy to try to attract, what we call diverse individuals.
Yeah, and she got into Princeton with very low test scores, and it turned out to her detriment. Her first semester, she got C's and D's. So she ran away from her core studies to sociology because that was a relatively easy major. Her brother did that as well, who was at Princeton. He was a basketball player. He openly said on tape, he said, you know, I got bad grades, so I went to sociology because it was kind of easy. So that's what Michelle did. She got through sociology with higher grades because it's not a difficult major, and then, of course, got into Harvard Law.
I know some people who are deep, deep into politics, and one of them shared with me recently that it was common knowledge, and I don't know if you know anything about this, but that Michelle and Barack's marriage is largely a sham, that they kind of hated each other and didn't talk to each other and stuff. And I got so much detail on it that I was actually astonished that I'd never even heard that.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a legitimate courtship and marriage at the beginning. Now, Michelle's been telling this story in 2008 when she was on the campaign trail, and she did it recently in her book tour where she talks about not getting along with Barack and saying, well, I had to take care of the kids, and he went off and played golf, and what's going on? So this is really part of Michelle's attempt to appear relatable. She wants to recruit voters who are minorities and women. If she controls minorities and women, she controls the electorate. So Michelle is not actually that relatable. She's has no experience with black people. She talks about, I've got her on tape in her book tour talking about how she was afraid of black people growing up. She says, I got her quoted in the movie. She says, I was afraid to go out of my house. I would get beat up for acting white and for talking white. She even got in a fist fight with a girl who called her an Oreo, meaning you're black on the outside and white on the inside. So she was afraid of black people and has nothing in common, no experiences in common. And as I mentioned, she just got jobs exploiting the black community. But she needs, for politics, she needs to make minority voters think, well, I'm just one of you, and I had a tough time with my husband for some years when the kids were little. She's trying to appear relatable, but it's all a phony attempt to get people to identify with her and accept her.
So you do think, though, that the Democratic Party will put her forward in 2024 before they would put anybody? No, she'd be their number one candidate at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. She's positioned herself. She's been campaigning on the down low. Biden may fool around for a little while and say, I'm going to run. But it's clear that Michelle's taking the position of, I really don't want to run and I'm not political.
What do you want me to do? Satan spoke to me in a dream. I have to do it.
Yeah.
No, it's actually, to me, it's so horrifying to see the phoniness of all this and the posturing and so on and so forth. But I don't think there's anybody in the world who thinks that Joe Biden is running the country today,
correct,
much less that he would be in 4 or 5 years. We're talking to Joel Gilbert, the film Michelle Obama 2024. Go to salemnow.com. You are responsible for this information. Folks, I'm talking to the filmmaker Joel Gilbert. The new film is Michelle Obama 2024. You can find it at salemnow.com. It is, unfortunately, true and important. I wish neither were the case, but I am grateful that you've done the work, tremendous work on getting this out, because Americans need to know the truth. If you want to vote for her after you know about all this stuff, that's on you. But you don't plead ignorance. Don't say, well, I like her. You're responsible for this because people's lives are dependent on who runs the country.
Well, the biggest people being manipulated are minority voters. The Obamas manipulated them for years and years. Obama did nothing for the black community when he was president, Barack Obama. Everything got worse. The economy got worse. Everything. And Michelle Obama is doing the same thing that she did when she was working for the mayor of Chicago or the University of Chicago Medical Center. She's manipulating the black community, as her father did. Her father was a politician who was a precinct captain. His job was to get the black folks to vote for the white Democrats, elites. And Michelle's putting forth this story of suffering from racial discrimination, which never happened, in order to get them to sympathize with her. So they're the ones that she's manipulating the worst of all. And I think this book and film exposes what she did to the black community in her professional career and how she spent her life running away from them.
Well, this is part of a larger narrative. People who talk about caring for the poor, who actually care about themselves and power and who crush the poor. This is really the story of the left. And we need to know the facts. So again, the new film is Michelle Obama 2024. But you've made so many films. I want people to know that if they want to find your other films, they can go to Highway61ENT. That stands for entertainment. Highway61ENT.com. You've made films, my goodness, on the Trayvon Martin hoax.
Correct.
Unmasking the witness fraud that divided America. You made a film called Inside Bob Dylan's Jesus Years.
Right.
That's something I want to see. You've made some mockumentaries, and of course, that's like my favorite genre, the mockumentary. But you made a mockumentary on Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney really is dead. Now, a lot of people, younger people, won't get the joke. But in the 60s, really, I was not paying attention at the time. But there was this crazy idea. I guess it was the the Abbey Road album? What was the album where he's walking barefoot? I'm sorry.
Well, the impetus was that the Beatles stopped touring because the tours were so chaotic and they couldn't even hear themselves on stage. So they stopped touring and just made albums. So they played a couple records backwards, and they found these hidden messages when you played them backwards that said, Paul is dead, miss him, miss him, and all these little subliminal messages. So that started a rumor that, wait a minute, why did they stop touring? Is Paul McCartney dead? So
right.
That's what that film is. It's actually narrated by the deceased George Harrison. It's a mockumentary telling the story of how Paul died and so on. It's a comedy, but it did very well. It's a great film.
Paul McCartney really is dead. Although I've seen him on Madison Avenue a couple of times. In fact, I actually almost bumped into him and had a very short conversation with him. But this was a thing where all the teenagers, who was like the conspiracy theory that Paul is dead. And so you made a mockumentary about that. You also made a mockumentary about Elvis.
That's right. The Paul McCartney Really Is Dead did so well. My distributor said, can you do another rock and roll mockumentary? So the obvious one was, well, if Paul is dead, Elvis is really alive.
Okay.
So I did one called Elvis Found Alive, that we found him alive. And it's really a whole history
of... He was living with Howard Hughes in the desert.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of time, but if people want to see those films, Joel Gilbert, they can find you at highway61ent.com, highway61ent.com. But the new film, Michelle Obama 2024, you can find at salemnow.com. Very important, folks. We may be facing this soon. We need to have our facts. Joel Gilbert, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.